What a fang banger.
Hello and welcome to Fang Bangers Podcast. We're chaotic horny friends rewatching the chaotic horny HBO series True Blood. I'm Lozzie.
I'm Melissa.
I'm Elise.
And I'm Tasia.
And this week we're back discussing Season 3, Episode 1, Bad Blood. Hey! This episode originally aired on June 13th, 2010. It was written by Brian Buckner and directed by Daniel Minahan.
Wiki summary, someone edited. Suki enlists the help of Eric in her search for the missing Bill. Sam begins his search for his birth parents. Tara falls into despair following Egg's death and takes a lot of pills. While Jason and Andy deal with the consequences of the season finale, or their emotional consequences, Eric is paid a surprise visit by the Vampire Queen. Bill frees himself from his captors, but finds himself a long way from Bon Ton in Mississippi and in unfriendly territory.
And we're back. So, first impressions on the episode, new season. Everyone recovered from the trauma of the last season?
Eggs. No, I haven't.
No. Okay.
I mean, they don't really give you any recovery time because this episode starts mere moments after the end of the last episode.
Yeah.
Which most True Blood, I don't know for sure. A lot of True Blood episodes do that, but I always get a special thrill when that happens between seasons.
Me
like,
too.
That feels like real, like proper TV.
Yeah, I'm happy with it like this. I'm also happy with it like 6 months later, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try and like slowly fill you in on what happened in that 6 months over the season. But
I like
this is like
also
proper soap opera style.
I have to say, I really enjoyed the scenes without Suki the best. She was doing a pretty good Karen impression in this episode, which I will get more into later. But she was annoying me.
Yeah, I agree totally. Yeah, we'll talk about it more later, but Suki's back on her only my problems are problems shtick, and it's not a good look for her.
I agree that Suki is annoying in those scenes, but Pam and Eric are fantastic in those scenes, so I'm kind of like a little bit torn.
I kind of forgot that she had scenes with them, so I guess I agree with you.
Yeah, I really was enjoying all, like moment to moment, I was really, really enjoying all the scenes that Jason was in and all of the things he was doing and feeling, with obviously the asterisks of like how we got ourselves into this plot, because as we discussed in our last episode, you know, over the finale, it's not great. It's never going to be great. If Jason could just exist without Andy Belfour, that would be even better. But like Jason doing his just like pretty idiot routine, I love it. I eat it up.
I'm very happy to see more Pam. I feel like we got more Pam in this episode than we got in pretty much the entirety of last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a lot of her.
And I feel like we're going to get more of her this season, so I'm looking forward to that. It was fine. It wasn't as, I suppose by True Blood season premiere standards, it wasn't as like frantically kinetic. It still covered like a hell of a lot of plot. Like there's like 5-6 plots going on, so yeah, it's good to be back.
I don't think this really fits in anywhere, but like I did giggle when it was like, oh, Arlene's pregnant again, I guess. That should be interesting.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like, I don't remember a lot from this season at all besides like, you know, some obvious things. The introduction of like the werewolf stuff that's
right.
Already kind of been hinted at. And I remember a little bit from the Arlene pregnancy storyline, but other than that, this whole season is like a complete blank slate for me. So I'm really interested to see that kind of play out almost for the first, because I had such vivid memories of the first season and the second season, but this is the first one where I'm like, I guess we're going to see what happens because I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have similar I have flashes of, I think, random stuff that happens with Sam, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
not too much memories, but we should see.
This is more of a book comment, but excuse me, I read about 25% of Club Dead, which is the third Suki Stackhouse novel, and I there will be comments about that throughout this episode, I am sure. But specifically, There's a certain character that shows up in that book and in the season that I didn't remember was coming in the season. And when the name is dropped in the book, I squealed. I was yes, I am so happy to see this person.
I think that I, because I read about 18% because, you know, we log our reading, so we know exactly what percentage we are with any book. And I probably know what you are thinking of, but I haven't heard the name yet. So, but I know it's coming and I'm excited. Well, there was one name that I was very excited about, actually. And now I'm curious if it's the same person. Well, there's two people I'm very excited about, actually, for this season.
Oh, me too. Me too. Oh,
it's probably the same two people. Two people,
yes.
I need to know what you guys are talking about. Because I don't remember the third book either.
So one is friend and one is foe.
I have an idea. I'm going to...
One is like a hunky man and the other is like small squirrely man.
Yes.
I know. I think I know exactly who you're talking about, yeah.
Yes.
I definitely know the former. I'm guessing at the latter, but I don't know if he's in this season or not, so we should see.
We can say it in our spoiler section later.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's kick on. So any more on first impressions?
I'm mad that the only option to watch over Tara is her mom, but like obviously Lafayette has to work and like they don't have money to like, you know, have someone watch her full time. It sucks.
I'm super happy that Letty Mae is back.
She's your favorite.
In other news, it is opposite day.
Like, I totally get your point, Elise, but I'm just like, fuck's sake, have we got to go through this shit again? And she's immediately back on it. Anyway, we'll address that in the Tara section of the plot. Just fucking done with that. Anyway, she is not the first plot section that we've divided. We have gone with Sam first. And Sam is still looking for his parents. He's up in Arkansas having very sexy dreams about Bill. He's suddenly the far most interesting person he's been in the whole show so far. Choice lines from Dream Bill. I'll have the shirt off your back. And also, I hear the water in Arkansas is...
Are you gonna say it? Like I'm like we're all waiting.
Somebody's gotta say it.
Hard.
Hard.
Hard water is not sexy. It is bad for your sink. It is bad for your hair.
I love that scene though because I feel like Bill or like Stephen Moyer is playing it so straight, you know?
So
and I feel I feel like Sam Rilott is like on the verge of bursting into laughter. Like I feel like he's barely hanging on by a thread in that performance, but it makes it so much funnier.
I don't think he's playing it that straight, but
well, not that kind of straight.
I was absolutely dying at this. The water in Arkansas is hard, nearly like just took me out of this plane of existence because that is just ridiculous. It's so funny. And I knew that this wasn't like real, but I sort of was because I didn't remember what was gonna happen. I didn't go immediately to Dream. I was like, did somebody possess Bill? Like, did the kidnapper, are they really trying to get to Sam? Like, what is going on? This is overly complex for a pilot.
I definitely knew it was a dream, but I was definitely like that Michael Jackson eating popcorn meme, like watching it play out and having the best
time. Love too that like because it's a dream, when Sam takes a shirt, he's like, I'll give you the shirt off my back, and he takes the shirt off and Bill's like, nice. And I feel like that's just Sam like wanting somebody to look at him and be like, nice. You see he gets like a little bashful look on his face. It's so funny. The whole scene is so good.
Sam, by the way, I will always tell you, you look nice with your shirt off. You may suck sometimes, but you look nice with your shirt off.
Sadly, he wakes up before we see whether he sucks sometimes, and he is heading off. And he heads off into town. I can't remember what the name of the town is, but he's somewhere in Arkansas, and he goes to a mechanic's where he finds out his... a child is called, what's that child's name? The excuse me, I've forgotten all the names of the people in Sam's plot. I've just purely focused on dumbass jokes.
The brother is Tommy? Tommy Mickens, the mom's Tommy name, Mickens. I don't remember, and the father,
I think it's
is,
Melinda or something?
Joe, Melinda and Joe Lee, but like Joe and then Lee. Yeah.
So he the goes Mickens. To the mechanics to find Mickens, yes. Searching for Tommy, and the kid says his name is Tommy, but he's not that Tommy. And
which is
we know he's
ridiculous.
Related to Sam because he's a terrible liar.
I love that Tommy's like, oh yeah, all those people, you know, sorry. Tommy's like, basically calls himself a piece of shit, and Sam's just like, yeah, I heard they all are. Because Sam's not, like, seeing through, is not believing this. Like, he's seeing through this completely. Later, he goes to their house. Like, does he follow him or something?
Yeah, I think so.
And he, like, looks through their mail, and it clearly says Mickens is the last name on all the bills.
Yeah, because he got a phone call from, like, the Chamber of Commerce saying that they sold their business or something. And I think he just basically was like, something dodgy, I'm going to hang around there anyway.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a short little section with Sam this episode. With one major diversion in the middle of it. But his plot moves along slowly. Anyone got anything else to say about Lil Sam?
I'll just say that I think I definitely like him more than I have in the past. He's best when he's not dealing with Sookie, I think. But also, he had such a shitty, like, last season that it's just nice to have him, like, do something for himself, even if, like, I'm sure there'll be drama, but it's just nice to see him, like, I want to meet my family and I'm going to go do that. Like, it feels like he's making moves. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, I think Sam and Sookie kind of bring out the worst in each other. Yeah. So, you know, two people that might otherwise kind of separately be more likable just are not when they're together.
Yeah, I agree.
It's harder for him to exploit his employees when he's not actually there. Okay, so Andy, Jason, Hoyt. Jason is still pretty sad, unsurprisingly. He is very confused that Andy told a story to the police that wasn't necessarily 100% true, and he
a story
is
full of holes.
A story full of holes. So Andy has to reassure him and give him a pep talk and get him to stick to the story. And he, in order to do that, he has to act as normal Jason as possible. And so Andy just makes him repeat over and over again, conscience off, dick on.
Dick on.
I don't want to skip over the, like, what the part when, like, Andy and Terry are having their conversation, but I did like later in the episode when Andy sees Jason, like, trying to, you know, hook up with those two veterinarian students, and he's like, good job, like, into himself, because he's just happy that Jason's, like, going with the plan.
Yes, find out later, it's slightly hard is not the right word, but it's more difficult for Jason to do that than you might expect our beautiful dumbass boy to be.
Early in the episode, there's a scene where Terry is trying to comfort Andy because what Terry believes is that Andy was killed eggs in self-defense and stuff. And for me, it was really hard to watch this because I know that, you know, as a viewer, we know that's not what happened. And Terry being in war is not the same thing as what happened here. It might be, like, similar, but it just feels like, because of the lie to me, it was really hard to watch this scene where Andy's just, like, going along and Terry's being so earnest and, like, mm-hmm. none of it is real.
Yeah, I think from Terry's perspective, because he doesn't know, like, it is kind of a, you know, he knows that Andy doesn't want to actually kill anyone, and he knows what it's like to, like, be also be in that position where you don't want to do this thing, but doing this thing because it's your job or because you have some calling or whatever, some sort of authority to do this, and then you have to kind of live with those actions afterwards. So, like, from I think for Terry too, it must almost be nice to have somebody mm-hmm. that you feel like has that kind of shared experience. So
they
he's
commiserate.
Like really bond. Yeah, he's like really bonding with him, and they exchange "I love yous." It's very sweet. So yeah, but yeah,
that
it's
part
rough
I love.
Because it's just not at all what actually happened, and it's a lot more, you know.
I think it is. It's based on trauma, shared trauma, though, right? Right. So yeah, I agree. Like, it's not the same. Maybe not. I think the word "earned" is a little bit rough there, but like, mm-hmm. not earned in the same way that Terry's service was. But it's both of them having gone through trauma, and Terry recognizing some aspects of that in Andy's behavior, even if it's not exactly how he thought it happened. So
yeah,
I think it's a nice.
Terry
Belfort, good guy.
Yeah,
always
like I
the
do
best
think
boy.
Andy was still he is. I do think Andy was still traumatized by what happened. Like, I'm not saying otherwise. I mean, it was pretty, the whole grand scheme of it was pretty scary.
Yeah, I think this is a really sweet gesture from Terry, and I mean, I agree that it's hard to watch because it's like, I think that it's probably like difficult for Terry to have this conversation and to like not, I don't mean spin as in like the PR sense, but like utilize past experience that is really difficult for him and is causing him a lot of hardship in life. Like, to use that in a positive sense, I think is probably really healthy for Terry. And I think that that's like a good thing for him to do. And it's hard to watch because it's like, this is a lie. Andy doesn't deserve this. Like, you are too good for these people.
Yeah, speaking of people he's probably too good for, I think, so clearly he's been through some therapy off the back of his war experience. He does seem sort of more happy and more confident because he's now dating Arlene. Mm-hmm. But Arlene is not always the best person.
No,
another person who perhaps does not deserve his support and love.
Yeah, she says a lot of pro cop shit, which I kind of expect of her. And like, Tara is rightfully just like, this isn't a beauty pageant. Like, who are you? You're like giving a monologue, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Arlene says the most cliche thing, like, after the argument that she and Tara have, which is like, I hate when they make everything about race. Which, like, in the moment, I'm like, I had written in my notes that, like, I couldn't tell if we were supposed to, like, be amused that she was being cliche or not, but I don't think I explained that very well. But, like, I definitely feel at this point, like, book Arlene is less shitty to me than TV show Arlene. But I think
we have to talk about that later in the spoiler section.
Yeah, because
I don't remember a lot about it. I remember a kind of specific thing about Arlene later on where show Arlene, despite her many foibles, is actually a much, much better person than book Arlene.
Right. You'll have to remind me because I really don't remember. But also,
I think that
I'm
the show puts a lot of the sentiments of the location and of the time in Arlene's mouth for lack of somewhere else to express those things. And so it really just makes for this character who seems to be just pathologically unable to think before she speaks. And so it does sometimes feel like, why are you guys so close to her? Like, her and Sookie are like
best
friends.
That's my problem.
And it seems like, why would you be like that? And it's just because the show, I think, feels like, especially like at the time, there was like a lot of, I think, criticism of different like TV and movies in like their handling of race. Not that I agree with this, but like, oh, like, people in Louisiana wouldn't be just completely fine with all the black people. Like, you know what I mean? It was just, like, not a great time for dealing with that type of thing in TV. And especially with, like, HBO shows, I think that they are a little, like, preoccupied with reception. So I think that, the show itself was like, oh, we need to make sure that we recognize that, like, there would be racism here. And it's like, we all get it. We live in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the part that was hardest for me, because, like, later when Arlene is like, did you put cinnamon in the whatever it was? And she's like, oh, shit, I'm pregnant. And, like, Lafayette is so cordial to her and like, mm-hmm. are you okay? And I'm like, she didn't hear him say, sorry, he didn't hear her say that race comment, but he did hear her say like, should we be sad because of slavery or something? And I'm like, that is not an okay thing to say.
She brought up race. Like, you
that's
brought
true.
Up slavery first.
And I think to that point,
the case, I think usually the person that says that is the one that brought it up.
Yeah. I think for, like, in Lafayette's case, it's a matter of, like, he doesn't really respect Arlene anyway. So, like, he doesn't care what she says. And he's, like, this is the kind of, like, it's not even, like, a microaggression. It's, like, not micro enough for that. But it's, like, this kind of just casual racism is something, like, unfortunately, that is just so pervasive in everyday life. Yeah. That it's, like, you know, he's going to ignore anything that dumb waitress he works with says. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's not the kind of thing that Lafayette is going to let affect his day.
Or, yeah, because he's just, not worried
it's Arlene
about her.
Being stupid, and he's, you know, he's whatever about her.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just think that the show writer is not interested in inspecting racism within the context of the show.
Yeah.
I think he's interested in inspecting homosexuality and queerness with regards the metaphor that he sets up with vampires, but I think he's interested in reflecting racism, but I don't think he really is interested in what impact that actually has on people's lives. And I think that's a shame. He's not the only gay person to take a metaphor like that and focus on the queer metaphor and not the potential other minorities that could be the case.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, I'm always thinking about X-Men.
We know.
Yeah, so we mentioned that, like, Arlene isn't exactly like this in the books, at least up to this point. But this book specifically has, like, I mean, all these books so far have had this, like, other, like, just unnecessary racist shit. The beginning of Club Dead does, you know, exposition to explain, like, the characters as if it was a, like, you can just pick up this third book if you wanted to, and you probably
yeah,
could.
They always re-explain who everyone is.
They're really slight. But Sookie is, like, talk. Also, I listened to the audiobook, and these books are basically in, like, first person, and it is fucking unhinged to, like, hear Sookie's thoughts said out loud. Because, especially in this book, Sookie is insufferable, and I would not be having conversations with her. So all these things that are being said out loud into my brain, it's like, if I was really around a person saying these things, I would just leave. Like, I would not be around them.
Okay. I was just thinking how funny that is, because in the book and in the show, Sookie hears everyone's stupid fucking thoughts. And we have to deal with fucking hearing Sookie's stupid thoughts.
And she's talking about how she's talking about how, and this book was published in 2003, so that's why this is here. She's talking about how when the vampires made their announcements simultaneously on TV, they had a woman vampire giving the announcement in Afghanistan, and like, she alludes to all the horrible things that happened to this lady vampire because of this. And it's like, for what reason? And 2003 is the reason, but it's still like, this could not exist. And
I'm
going to
be honest. I'm going to be honest. That part of when she's like explaining it, I like tuned it out. So I don't. I literally read it to quote unquote read it today. Don't remember that.
Yeah, you should.
I do enjoy the scene where Hoyt is like talking to Jason. I guess they're at their job, and he's bitching about his mom having lied to him, and Jason's like, weren't you happy before? I'm kind of with your mom on this one, which I don't agree with, but like, it is really funny that Jason's talking, because he'd rather not know that he killed Eggs is kind of what I'm thinking is he's actually saying here. And Hoyt's like basically asking him for like a place to stay without coming out and asking him, and Jason's just not getting it. To the point where when Hoyt finally asks, because he's so frustrated, Jason's like, that was kind of rude of you.
You could just look into Jason's eyes and there is nothing going on. Absolutely nothing.
I think he's thinking about himself. Like, I think he is thinking about what he did, but like, he has no, like, he's so preoccupied that there's no he is not getting at all what Hoi is saying.
I've only seen Ryan Kwanten in one other thing, I think, and it was just a single episode of New Girl where he's also just a fucking idiot, just like a beautiful idiot. So wow. I want to know, is there really nothing behind those eyes? Like, what's going on?
I'm just like, who had money on New Girl coming up and it not being Melissa? Who
Listen, I did just finish a full New Girl rewatch, so
I am it's fresh. The middle of one. Ryan Kwanten was in a horror movie, and I can't remember the name of it. I'm trying to find it really quickly. Like 2 years ago, and it's literally just him and the voice of J.K. Simmons. And to be honest, the movie kind of rules, and he gives a good performance in it. I was really impressed.
Nice.
That does sound interesting.
Well, I'm glad he's still doing his thing out there.
The movie is called Glorious. Hmm. He's been in a ton of stuff, none of which I've heard of, so that's not a great sign for quality.
I just read a really interesting thing that now I can't think of where it is, but that he, in 2000, this is me reading off his Wikipedia page because I just found this. In 2013, Kwanten played Marvel character Venom in the short film Truth and Journalism.
Wow.
And I'm like, now we should go watch that, I feel like.
Is that animated?
Unclear.
What was it called? Truth in Journalism?
Truth in Journalism.
When I clicked on the Truth in Journalism link in Wikipedia, it took me to the film's director, which I find so annoying. Yes. I'm closing the tab.
Yes. Yeah, they did the same thing to me.
No, it is it's a black and white film.
Wow.
We can watch it on YouTube. It's like 17 minutes.
It is crazy.
I like when Jason calls Hoi Bubba. It seems
me too.
It's very sweet and like familiar and like very besties, and I really like it.
Besties.
But yeah, Jason is very much a don't think about it. Just ignorance is bliss. He's the very much the scene in the Matrix. You're just like, ignorance is bliss. Hoi also gets a cool new haircut. I feel like his sleeves have got like half an inch shorter as well. So
roll
I think
up.
It's proximity to Jason. He's going to get them all cut off by the end. So he calls Jessica having left the flowers there last night. And she picks up and is distracted on account of things that we'll talk about later. But that's basically a dead body. She's very happy to hear from him. The two of them are adorable. I love them both, but he's pleased that she's happy to hear from him, but then she has to hang up because dead body.
She doesn't have time.
Dead body.
Yeah.
Problems.
He's just like, la la la, I have a haircut. I think you'll like it. She's trying to be like, please, I have to go.
This is not a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if she wasn't waiting to hear from Bill, she might not even have answered the phone. Like... Because she answers and she's like, Bill? Like, because she thinks, like, that, yeah.
Bill?
Bail?
Bill? Bill?
I do feel bad for Hoi having to, like, deal with this pussy overflow. because he's clearly, like, hung up on Jessica and...
Jason's clearly hung up on
hotties.
Bullets in the head.
Yeah, I do think it's really funny that Jason keeps, like, trying to, like, convince these women to come over. And I'm like, these women will fuck you. They do not care. They're like, they know he's a dope and just, they just want to fuck. It's fine. I did feel that it was a good sign that as soon as Jason saw the bullet holes in their heads that he couldn't get hard. So that made me like him more. You know, that he wasn't like... So,
yeah, speaking,
the bar
speaking
is
of people anyway. Who... Yeah, speaking of people who don't think before they talk, he then goes, I'm imagining you both with bullet holes in your head.
There are so many different ways.
Sorry,
he could have expressed his, like, recent trauma.
So I can't
yeah,
get hard.
But no, he's going to lead with like, the, I keep imagining you with bullet holes in your head. Like,
I would be horrified if I was
They're
done.
Probably scared to death. It, you know this man has guns laying around.
That is the right response to someone saying that is to nope the fuck out of there. Yeah. If anything, they don't nope out enough quickly enough.
They're like running out of the house, and Hoyt's like, it was nice to meet you. Having no idea what just happened.
There was a lot of tits in this episode, also.
There was a lot of tits in this episode. Yeah,
we got those two women. We got the dancer from Estonia.
Yep.
Tits.
We got Stephen Moyer.
We got that one werewolf guy in his car.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tara, Lafayette, Annie Mae. Tara is still traumatized, unsurprisingly.
Yes, it was like yesterday. It was this morning, yeah. I think, or like earlier.
Five minutes ago.
Yeah. So, and then has to deal with shit from Arlene. So Lafayette steals a bottle of tequila and takes her home.
Back to Sookie's house.
Sookie, as usual, is not really paying attention to her best friend in the world, and is just obsessed with her own.
I'm in the same position. I mean, like, my boyfriend is missing. Eggs got shot in
the
face this morning.
Outrageous. Outrageous. Sookie Stackhouse, you need to shut the fuck up.
If I was Tara, I probably wouldn't talk to her for like... I wouldn't talk to her for like at least a month if that.
And like
here,
like honestly, both of them, neither of them is putting their best foot forward here because, you know, and Tara is understandably, obviously, very recently traumatized. She's just lost the person she loves most in the world. It's not Sookie's fault that she helped him remember things. You know, it was maybe
not
a lot of foresight involved there, but like, would Tara not, or you know, would she have not been mad if Sookie had refused to help him? Like it was a no-win situation, yeah, for Sookie, and then Tara just fucking attacks her. But then Sookie's response to be like, I feel the same way, my boyfriend's missing. It is absolutely insane, and this goes back to Sookie's whole thing of like, only my problems are real problems, and you know, why are we not about me right now? Which is the Sookie Stackhouse story. That's frustrating.
Yeah, Tara and Sookie being best friends in the whole world is very much a tell don't show on True Blood.
Like, I feel like it reminds
it's not
me
the first time this has happened. Basically.
Yeah, it reminds me of like high school type friendships where like you never knew like who you were cool with at the same. My mom and I were talking about this. I know it's not like a triangle of friendship, but like my mom said this like 2 days ago. Three girls in high school or younger could not be friends at the same time. There was always one person that everyone was mad at, and I feel like Tara and Sookie are that with just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably because they grew up so sisterly.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's maybe just a side effect of them being more sisters than friends, really.
Yeah.
In that they know better than anyone how to piss the other off, and kind of take the friendship part of their relationship for granted, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
If Sookie could use her brain, she could have not done this with Eggs. Mm-hmm. She could have not told Tara about it like right now. I just feel like there were a lot of off ramps, and
that was very much please let me offer me to blame on a silver platter for you. Like, why?
Yeah,
that's when I'm shouting the
fuck
up.
The thing is
I'm going to keep that to my entire self.
Tara, yes, exactly. Here's my story. No holes in it. I've never talked to Eggs in my life.
I don't know who that is. I'm sorry to this man. I do not know who he is.
I just want everyone to know, if you haven't seen it, this is the plot of the Sex and the City movie, which I'm going to spoil real quick.
Okay.
So Carrie and Mr. Big are supposed to get married after dating for like fucking 10 years, and Miranda and her husband are having marital problems, and he cheated on her, and the night before Carrie's wedding, Miranda tells Mr. Big, like, you're stupid to get married, and then they don't get married. Like, that's literally what prompts the whole movie. And I'm like, these people are idiots.
Sometimes it's anyway, okay to shut all up, you know?
Yeah, sometimes like, it's and then, well, okay also Miranda tells Carrie eventually that she said that. And then they don't talk for a long time. It was like, just never.
The teacher in Easy A is like, what is it with your generation thinking you have to share every thought that comes into your head? They're not all gems.
Isn't that Allison Janney?
It's.
Is that no, Allison Janney?
It's her husband that says it, and it's Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she says, who would you believe? Anyway, we don't have to do Easy A, because I could do that all night.
I need to rewatch that one. I only saw it the once.
Oh, my God. It's a favorite.
That's a fun film. Yeah, it's great.
So Lafayette, after this big fight, which he's like apologizing to Sookie about it, because he's like, Tara, like, this is Sookie, like, why are you freaking out? But I do think they were both wrong, and I don't think Sookie was blameless at all. He takes her back to his house, but he has to go to work, so he calls up Letty Mae to come over, which is weird given their last interaction together.
He does say Tara's been asking for her, which we don't see, but
maybe it's a cut scene or something.
But you could be like, Tara, I respect that you're asking for that, and I just, as your current caretaker, think it's a bad idea, so no.
But
like,
quick question, have you met your mom? Are you sure that's who you want?
I feel like, what other option was there? I guess he could take her to work with him, but like, I don't know.
He could take her to hospital because she probably needs to be seen by a doctor. Mm-hmm. He could take her to...
But I think he knows they can't afford that.
He could take her to work and sit her in Sam's office.
Yeah, I don't think they have, like, hospital
money. It's not like Arlene doesn't sit her children in booths randomly.
Yeah.
I'm both offended that Lafayette would do it and offended that I have to watch another fucking Letty Mae scene where she continues to be the absolute... Like, literally 2 seconds when he calls her, she's immediately like, oh, this is an opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to rebuild bridges with my daughter. I'm like, also, this entire town, it was 18, 24 hours ago that Marianne was killed. The entire town is a mess. And I don't understand what any of them are doing.
I feel like they all just need like a day off or something.
Yeah, why is anybody working?
Need a weekend. Yeah.
Capitalism, baby. Like, so 2 seconds after Lafayette leaves, she invites Reverend Daniels over to talk to Tara. And I feel like Reverend Daniels, I don't want to spoil anything, but he becomes a little bit more prominent as the show goes on. I'll mention it in the spoiler.
But she's not actually inviting him over to help Tara. She's inviting him over so she can hit on him because she's worst.
I think it's both. I think she thinks that a good Christian woman would call up the Reverend for her daughter. But also, I think she doesn't know how to be close with people other than that way, I think. So that's, I don't know.
You just know how unwell Tara is that she is sitting through this. Quietly.
Yeah, because you know she doesn't. She's like not even talking, and like normally she'd be yelling at them.
She's Letty Mae earlier is also like, oh yeah, that's the one thing, you know, people cry out for when they're in pain is they just want their mama, and I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker. Like, so many times you've demonstrated your complete inability to do this properly. So anyway, I'm fed up with it. I don't want to rant about it anymore. So
when
I'll hand over if anyone else has anything.
When we see Tara alone in the bathroom, and like you get the sense, you know, like what is about to be happening. My notes are like, I cannot believe Letty Mae like is this careless after the speech she got from Lafayette. My other note is, Lazzie is going to fucking hate this. Like, almost do not even need to write notes for the scene because I knew it would be covered.
I'm just going to say that I think that I started using the word conversate because of this episode, like the first time that it came out, because I heard her say that and I'm like, I'm embarrassed to say that is a word that I don't even know if it's a real word, actually, that I have said. And I think I just stole it from Letty Mae.
I don't think it is, but like all words are not real
used
words.
It.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Usage defines.
I'm going to just start saying conversate again.
Yeah.
It feels right.
Anyway, Letty Mae was Tara says she's going to take a shower. She says she's going to take a shower, so Letty Mae just lets her go in there. Lafayette comes back and goes, what the fuck have you done?
Like, how long has she been in there, too? Because it feels like it's not, like, 10 minutes later.
Yeah, the timelines are a little bit screwy. Yeah. But anyway, we see her downing pills. So it, to me, it feels like a she's taking a bunch of painkillers in attempt to self-harm. But other people can, don't know how other people read it.
Yeah, that's my assumption, too, because that's also what Lafayette was heavily hinting at, that she was in that kind of frame of mind. So that's what I'm inclined to think as well.
I don't have a full thought on that, really.
All right. Well, that was a bummer. So let's move on to... I'm really sorry, guys. I just really fucking hate seeing this.
I know you do.
Suki, Eric, the resident Pam, Karen. And Jessica. Yes. So Suki is pissed that Kenya won't file a missing persons report on Bill. And Kenya's like, well, it has to be 48 hours, and it's been less than 48 minutes, so no.
I do really think she was. It was funny when Kenya's like, maybe he left because you didn't say yes.
I think that that's a reasonable thing to say, but I do not think it's reasonable for a police officer to be like, and he would be right. Like, I'm traumatized. You can't say that to me.
I mean, I think Kenya was saying that more as a person that knows Suki than as a police officer, but I do.
100%. Yeah. But she's in her uniform. You need to keep the opinions to yourself. Oh, no, I don't.
It's like when my doctor told... Oh, God, never mind. That was... Anyway.
She did very much give off an air of, I don't actually care about this, though. It's, you know, I'm not prepared to investigate it at all. Well, much the same air that Sheriff Dearborn gives us later, which is like,
I don't know
I
why
don't
Suki would
care
even
about this.
Bother
a vampire.
With the cops because they do not deal with vampire like missing
she
persons.
She truly believes
probably
that
a vampire.
The
vampires have their own like ruling body, right? Go
yeah,
to them.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah. And my first call would be Eric.
Exactly.
Of course.
But like anyway, no matter what's going on, first call. What's up?
Well, first she goes to Bill's after that, and Jessica's crying about her, the drained man in the hiding hole.
Did not expect her to drag that man home. I really thought she was going to leave him bleeding in his truck, confused about what happened. I think we're supposed to take it like she lost control and didn't want to leave a dead body there, but on the other hand, why not?
I don't think she knows how to glamour them into not remembering yet.
Her dad taught
happens
her,
when
her
you...
Bill taught her on her
did, yeah.
To glamour.
Mm-hmm. No. Then it doesn't make any... Then it's just a teenager being a teenager.
Yeah, this is what happens when you condemn somebody to being 17 forever. They're stupid.
And also
I
don't
think she's also
help them.
Like,
yeah.
She's also like then trying to raise him as a vampire but doesn't actually know what to do, right?
Yeah, because like, she barely has a parent.
If she would have gave him blood when he was still gurgling around, he would have healed and probably been fine.
Yeah. She should have just called Pam.
He
Pam
was very
Eric
weird
again,
about her virginity,
call.
So I'm not going to lie. I'm not mourning this man, but no. I do think it's sad that Jessica cares. Like, I'm sad for Jessica that she is having a turmoil, but I'm not having one.
I really
also
think
dealing with a body annoying. Like,
who has the
I
time?
Do really... She just should have called Eric and Pam. They would have at least told her what to do. I'm sure that it would have been another stop on Pam's nightly stops.
Pam would have shown up in her little pink fucking Chanel suit in her pumps and been like, let's go bury this piece of shit. The end.
Yeah.
This is gonna come up and be really relevant later, but since you mentioned Pam's pink, I love in this episode when she says, like, I don't know why people think that they do not have to listen to me. Maybe it's my friendly face. Maybe it's because I wear too much pink. But, like, I'll fucking kill you, basically. And I'm like, that is Pam. I look like a PTA mom, but I will kill you.
And that's the thing when she says to... So Suki turns up later at Fantasia, and she's like, Suki, how did you know that lavender was my favorite color? And I don't think she's joking. Is her favorite color.
No, I didn't think she was joking either.
And Pam is so thirsty.
She's
I
definitely
love her.
Flirting.
She is. I just, great. I love it. In the book, Suki says at one point in like the first few chapters that Pam is the closest thing she has to like a vampire friend.
It's very cute.
Like, it was so, so cute. So we have the scene where, you know, Suki's like trying to talk to Eric and Pam does that like, no, don't come back. And
it's like, there.
It is totally Willy Wonka. Like, I literally, like, I mean, it's not the exact same words, but it's literally Gene Wilder does that. And it's,
yeah,
I had to think that that was like on purpose. That's how similar it was.
Eric is in this dungeon.
It's great.
I would not fuck down there, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. That is exactly my point. We have seen some shit go down in that dungeon. It is disgusting down there. You're going to be down there with for 6 hours with somebody? I mean, get a fucking room.
Fully
for
nude.
Real.
Yeah.
Bare feet on that floor? It's a no. It is.
I mean,
a no.
I would do that sex, but just somebody clean.
Somebody,
clean.
Not Eric, is getting a staph infection, is all I'm saying.
The Estonian dancer dies because of the sex in the dirty room.
Yeah, like, I feel like there's like fumes that are lingering.
Yeah, it can't.
Sorry,
smell
that
good.
Was really, that was me being really morbid because my grandmother died of a staph infection, and now I feel like I can't believe I said that. It's fine.
Do you want it in? It was 20 of the episode.
Oh no, you can keep it in. It was 20 years ago. My mom's not listening to this. It's fine. But anytime anyone says staph infection, I think, okay, that person's gonna die. Which is awful, because people get those all the time and don't die. So yes. I always have to keep my mouth shut when someone tells me that, oh, my mom has a staph infection. And I'm just like, oh, that's awful.
Back to the episode. If you're going to be dangling for that long, it's like a lot of pressure on the toesies. And I don't want mine to be on a cold dungeon floor that used to have blood and actual guts on it. Like, it's gross.
Yeah.
Eric, you're so it's much better gross. Than this. Come on.
Is he, though?
He could at least afford to pretend like he is. Like, I don't think your torture dungeon needs to be the same as like your during work hours sex room.
Yeah, which can also really be a dungeon, but just a separate dungeon.
Yeah, exactly.
For, you know, health
clean,
code
a
reasons.
Clean one.
A clean yeah. dungeon.
Did you ever see that on
wait,
Netflix?
Are we separate? Are we? Is this kosher dungeons and non-kosher dungeons?
Are we separate? Yes.
No, I was just gonna tell. I was just gonna say it reminds me of like that show, How to Build a Sex Room on Netflix. It rules.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff on there.
We're gonna send it on VHS tape to Eric's doorstep.
Honey, sounds great.
You need to watch this.
I did enjoy
on
Pam.
VHS
yeah, I don't know why.
They probably do have a VCR.
I did enjoy Pam ogling the dancer. Like, she couldn't stop looking at her.
She's like, Suki. It was wonderful. Eric is like, do you see something you like to Suki? And Pam's like, I do.
It was great.
So Eric claims not to have any knowledge of Bill's abduction. So Suki then immediately jumps to Lorena. Eric's like, yeah, probably not Lorena. So, yeah. Suki basically goes off to try and ask some cops about whether they can track down Lorena instead.
This,
and gets exactly as far as you'd expect.
This is where she became like full Karen for me. She's literally rolling up to the sheriff to complain about a black woman's behavior towards her. I'm like, this is awful. And I didn't think Kenya was being that shitty. I agree with Melissa, like, maybe keep your opinions to yourself. But she was like, she gave her a ride home.
It doesn't really matter how Kenya was behaving towards Suki personally. Everybody knows that you have to be missing for 48 hours for a cop to care. Like, that is standard procedure.
Yes.
So from that perspective, what's to complain about? You have to wait for 48 hours. Like,
yeah, that's just a standard law or rule
so
or whatever.
So this scene really just serves like two purposes, which is like, remember how annoying Suki is? And it's like, yes, I do, thank you. And it's like, remember how vaguely vampire racist and like sometimes outright vampire racist Bud Dearborn is? And it's like, yeah, I do. Thank you for the scene.
But also, but like, remember season one and how shit the cops were and how Suki and Bill had to basically go on a road trip to find out
yeah.
who the murderer is. Why is she asking them, like, what is...
She's giving big like Daenerys Targaryen Where Are My Dragons vibes, which is just again like the worst and the worst version of Sookie is
that's really funny.
Not a good look for any of them.
That is very on point.
Yep. Well, anyway, so the police do nothing. Eric, it turns out, did in fact hire people to abduct Bill, but they got there too late, so he's super pissed off.
He got abducted by the wrong people.
For not abducting him. Like, so there were two groups trying to abduct Bill.
I was going to say, maybe like evening. Live your life in a way where like not there aren't multiple groups of people trying to abduct you at any given time. Like,
and if you
maybe
are doing
you should
this.
Sit down with yourself and be in wonder what it is about you that makes you so abductable, you know?
And if you are doing this, don't rent out an entire restaurant where there will be literally no witnesses. Like, you got to say in public, my guy. I love Eric and Pam bickering because Eric is just completely losing his temper and Pam is like, you're losing it. And he is like, how is that helpful, Pam?
I mean, he's not wrong. He isn't, like, it's not helpful.
Pam's the best.
Pam is the best. Anyway, his day continues to get better because Queen Sophie Anne and the Magister, yay, show up. And the Magister is upset because there's a lot of V on the market in the area. And he is very protective of vampire blood.
Seems against his like vampire religion. I just made the note that him making a comment about blood only being used for procreation, it's like very religious rite of him, which I think is an intentional parallel. But it was very like his specific wording of that was very like, oh, I've heard that before.
Yes, 100%. I was amused to find out that Sophie Anne had been bugging Eric's office.
It's how I know I can trust you.
Yeah, it's great.
It's interesting to me how less in charge she is when she's not in her palace, when she's in Eric's. And partially it's the Magister is there, but she's notably less composed. She's notably less, like, well put together and neatly put together her outfit and her look is not as perfect as it was in last season. So it's
I have a question about vampire hierarchies. Like, where does the, like, because she's the queen, so is Magister like higher than that in the hierarchy? Because it seems like it, because she seems to defer to him, but
yeah, it reads to me as like a checks and balances situation where, like, she has more
authority. So she's, like, the executive or whatever. Yeah, the executive.
Like, he's, like, the judicial branch. Like, she has, like, right. the authority over all of her people, but he enforces, like, the vampire laws. Like,
that makes sense.
That's how I read it.
I read it more like she's the Queen of Louisiana, so she's, like, state.
Oh, and he's, like, yeah.
FBI. Yeah, yeah. So I think
she's
Lossie's
state
and
the
right.
Magisters are federal.
Yeah, I was looking online because, like, he works directly for, like, the Vampire Authority, I think. I mean, we might not find that out, but I don't think that's, like, whatever.
So to him, she's essentially just, like, a local politician.
Yeah, he's, like, a federal marshal, and she's a governor, kind of. Like, I don't think a governor has to necessarily be scared of a federal marshal or whatever, but it does feel like different jurisdictions. You wouldn't want them to know you're scamming people or, like, doing something shady.
Makes sense.
Yeah, doing something shady, a.k.a. selling super illegal vampire blood to pay off the IRS. Like,
I really want to know, like, what her trouble with the IRS is. I doubt we ever find out, but, like, I would read, like, a novella about that.
Maybe because she's a public official.
I was
so
disappointed in her.
When they came out of the coffin that, like, all their records went public or something, and then they realized that vampires haven't been paying taxes for decades and millennia
that
or whatever.
Could
so,
be
but
it.
Then, like, every vampire should be under IRS investigation because I don't think any of them have been paying taxes.
Well, she certainly got that big old palace, so she got that somehow, and
maybe that's
she
like
that. She presumably owes some tax on buying that place.
It's interesting because I was like in the governor comparison, like the governor's mansion is owned by the state and then the governor moves in there, but like based on things that happen later, I feel like that is probably actually Sophie Ann's own house rather than like a queen's house.
And maybe she shouldn't have invested all that money to make that sunroom, as nice as it is.
It is really lovely.
Seems like money well spent.
He'll have no fear.
Just eat the IRS. You'll be doing all of us a favor.
The magister is convinced that a vampire is helping this sale of V, which, you know, he's not stupid. If there was no vampire involved, then there would be a vampire that's missing, which is funny because Bill literally is missing and they're like, no one's missing. Everything's fine.
Nothing to see.
And they were the only ones that, and he was the only person in the area who was like, oh no, I haven't noticed the uptick in V users. And that's
really? Because every other sheriff did.
Yeah, that was definitely a bad lie.
Like, is Eric not going, like, is he not active in the sheriff group chat? Like, why does he not know? Like,
the sheriff Discord.
You know they don't put anything on paper, Melissa.
He's been he has been in Texas recently, to be fair. So,
I would love to read.
But yeah, he's
I would love to read like the vampire Slack, like the yes. Louisiana vampire Slack. Yes. that would be good times.
I would like to read the Pam coffee shop AU purely done through text messages and Instagram messages and Slack and Discord messages.
Yeah, like, do you think they make their like custom emojis? Because
they have little teeth.
100%. Yeah. So anyway, she then like pulls Eric up against the wall, and not in the way that I think we would all quite like
to
see.
I do like it though.
They both sort of hiss at each other in a way that is impossible for me to take seriously, having watched What We Do in the Shadows. And anyway, so hell hath no fury like a vampire. So I'm seeing someone else's quote that they.
It's mine, and I already said it because I couldn't resist because it's so funny. I love it. It's like so ridiculous, and Evan Rachel Wood is just like a god tier actor. So it just is so right, even though it's like this is just insane.
She's chewing up every piece of dialogue she has.
Yeah. I watched her in Kajillionaire yesterday, and it was so wild to be like, she's playing a complete opposite character that she plays in this. And
she's got her low voice on in that movie.
Yeah, it's like a really deep low voice. Like, she looks like a mess. She's just like basically a stunted human being. And it's just completely wild. The range. I'm impressed.
Anyway, Pam shows up at Suker's with a check for the $10,000 and a
you
bonus.
You owe me $10,000.
Eric owed her. And then her and Suki have a short chat, but then she shivers when called for by Eric and zoops away. It's a weird... It's not too far away from, like, Marianne's vibe, but it's just a little... It's more like a shiver rather than...
Yeah. I also want to say that zoops away is my new favorite thing, and that it's perfect to describe a vampire just heading off.
Zoop. It's onomatopoeic. Or
yeah, this is like a clever bit of exposition, actually, because we saw Bill call for Jessica, and she doesn't really get what's going on, and then, you know, it's like very clearly just plot indicated, but it's also exposition. Yeah. It's like, this is good, y'all. Good show. Good writing. We love it. Because Sookie's like,
also in a scene, it's in a scene with Pam, which is the perfect way to deliver exposition.
And Sookie's like, oh shit, I bet Bill could shiver Jessica and we could find him. And we already know he tried it. And she asks Jessica, like, if he called her, and Jessica's like, no. And Sookie's like, no, in your body. And Jessica's like, oh, yeah, I didn't even think anything of it because I'm a fucking vampire and I have no idea what's going on.
No one gave her the manual.
I know. I constantly feel for Jessica for that exact reason.
She's like, so behind the curve. It's like,
she needs different vampire mentors.
She really does.
She was too annoying for Eric and Pam to keep her.
Yeah.
She's less annoying now, though. That's what I was about to say. Like, I feel like they could handle her now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Bill, I mean, Bill is his own worst enemy because he would have an ally who he could communicate with across time, not time, across space.
Across time.
if he would have just taken Jessica's vampire training seriously. Like, you are cutting off your own resources because you are a stubborn fool.
You've given this a lot of thought, and I appreciate that. I don't think anyone else in this show has given anything any such thought.
We should have named this podcast Taking the True Blood Way Too Seriously.
They're all operating within one standard deviation of a stack house, so no one's working too fast.
I do enjoy that in addition to, like, the shiver thing, like, just being called, it lets you know where the other vampire is. So, basically, they use, like, Jessica's intuition to try to find him, and they do land, they weren't flying. They were flying through time and space. They do, like, take the car and find his car. Where they had crashed. And that is alarming when you're looking for someone and you find their crashed car.
But Sookie's been here before and she's like, well, none of these bodies are Bill's and there's no massive goop, so he hasn't been staked. So there's a dead guy here. Here's his phone. Here's also like a brand on his neck that looks like a rune. And she gets Jessica to I'm gonna say Google existed at this time,
it
right
did.
So like
it was in 2010 so, when this episode came out.
Yeah, it feels like she's using WAP on her phone to scan for runes and,
wet ass pussy. Like, I'm so confused.
I saw Melissa.
Did you say WAP?
Oh my god,
I'm so old right now.
Okay, Leslie, you're like a year and a half older than me, so I don't, or like a year, 2 years.
Wireless
older than me.
Access protocol was what you used on your mobile phone before people had
not
iPhones.
Call it that. We would call it WAP.
I would call it friggin' Google.
I would call it something different. That's why I didn't.
And what I'm saying is, like when I had my little flip phone, when I had the internet on it, I didn't call it anything except the internet on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't know about its protocols.
I think you're not old. I think you just, like, know computer shit.
Consider me Sookie.
Possibly. Anyway, this is a type of internet protocol, not Cardigan Bardigan's latest song, so... That's Cardi B's full name. Do you not know that?
Oh, yeah, we did talk. We did, like, this is a thing.
Sorry, I've made that joke before, and I'm so proud of it that I just force it into something
else.
Feels
like the first time.
So Jessica Googles, or whatever, and it's a rune for Operation Werewolf. Ooh.
It goes like Odin, Loki, Operation Werewolf. I'm like...
The Hulk.
So random.
The werewolf's like, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, and since we have to, at least every episode that I'm on, we have to bring up some sort of Buffy reference. But fun fact about Googling, and its presence in like the pop culture lexicon was the first instance of Google being used as a verb on television. Was a season 6 episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer in 2002. So,
wow,
yeah,
God bless awesome. Thing because
I did not know that.
Wow.
I do it constantly. I say I'm Googling when I'm looking for like an email in my inbox.
Yes, I do the same thing. I don't know the word search anymore. It doesn't exist.
No, it's Google. It's just like Kleenex.
Xerox.
Go through your...
So at some point,
analog googling is going through point, your file Microsoft's... cabinet.
Some point in the 2010s, Microsoft paid a lot of money to try and convince people that Bing was.
Oh,
yeah,
no, no one. That sounds like something else. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
that's mom true. And I always make fun of. I don't remember if it was like George W. Bush or another just like old white man who would just be like the googly, and so we just call my mom and I call it the googly. Now.
Do you remember Ask Jeeves?
Or it,
yeah, of course.
I do remember,
yes.
Ask Jeeves. And Lycos and AltaVista.
Oh my god.
All the other proto search engines.
AltaVista. Remember GeoCities websites?
Yeah.
I do.
What was the other one that was like that? Like, right. Angel Fire or some shit?
Oh, yeah. Angel Fire.
Yeah.
I had an Xangoblog.
I think I made websites on Angel Fire, mm-hmm. if I'm being honest. Like, in
where
college,
was I supposed
I
to host my...
my
fan fiction I was writing in seventh grade?
Yeah, I think exactly. I hosted the guy I was dating in college's band's website that I
oh
made. That
God,
was maybe the coolest thing I ever did
manager.
In my entire life. Operation Werewolf okay. sounds like a program of like us like inviting bad guys to like be in our government, like like the Nazis coming to do science shit. After World War
II. I think
II.
It's a little too on the nose.
Yeah, no,
like
it is.
Paperclip is a little subtle.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know. But
Operation,
Werewolf just feels
let's
like
let's bring bad guys over.
Yeah, like Operation Werewolf sounds like what Operation Paperclip like was. Like that seems like what it should be yeah. then called.
Right. Yes. Melissa.
I wonder if we're going to actually find out what Operation Werewolf is, or if that was just some way for us to find out that it's werewolves without them just being like, it's werewolves. Because that's a stupid name and it's a stupid thing to get a tattoo of, to be honest.
I feel like
I am 100% sure it is the latter. Like, I'm willing to be proved wrong, but like, it was such a random like way those runes flowed through.
Runes do not have descriptions that include the word operation. Like that, it just it's not real.
I feel like I don't remember if the werewolves that are involved in this plot are like a sect. So maybe they do have their own like, maybe Operation Werewolf is like
their gang.
They're corny, like, this is what we call ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a little game where you have to take bones out of a werewolf, and if you touch the
werewolf, I know, is it, like, Operation Werewolf, like, an actual, like a purpose, or, like an operation, or is it just, like, we're werewolves, in which case, like, I'm Operation
Like, it's
Tasia.
What their gang's called, like.
Mm-hmm. We are Operation Bang Bangers. Let's get a tattoo.
That's true.
Okay. There was a legitimate Nazi plan in 1944 to create a resistance force which would operate behind enemy lines as the Allies advanced through Germany.
I told you, it sounded like Nazi shit.
So do we think that these werewolves that Bill killed are Nazis?
I would not doubt it.
I think that they're going to be at least white nationalists or... like white mm-hmm. supremacists or all
I don't remember.
I'm gonna be
it's
honest
about
if you're rolling around
I remember
in a
some hinky
truck,
shit like that
if you're rolling yeah. around in a pickup truck with somebody that you snatched and you're doing drugs, you're probably a white supremacist.
Yeah, facts.
And you're spitting vampire blood into your
and
friend's
you're worried
mouth,
it's gay
not in a
excuse
gay way.
Me
fellas is
it
gay,
gay? Spit vampire blood into your buddy's mouth.
It is gay.
I am also
rub your
pretty
titties
sure
in a car
that...
full of your friends.
Yeah.
I also am pretty sure when they were in the car that I heard Limp Bizkit on the radio. I can't clarify because I wasn't wearing headphones, but it really sounded like that. And I was like, this is the most appropriate thing that is happening right now.
Yeah, it could be Limp Bizkit for sure. Although I can't say that I like heard that specifically, but I only know like, I don't know, a handful of their songs. It does matter.
Yeah. I'm going to admit to having two of their albums.
I'm
going
to admit to having seen Limp Bizkit in concert within the last 10 years.
I think you
Gauntlet
won that.
Gauntlet Throne.
Yeah, like, it's all yours.
Lossie looks like he's about to get up and leave.
I know. it was probably on the cusp of actually being longer than 10 years ago because it was right after college. And Machine Gun Kelly toured with them. So that is...
Oh, we can say that we...
Oh, do you like Machine Gun Kelly?
Do I? Sometimes.
Melissa, I can say that we both watched our friend Sam do Limp Bizkit for karaoke within the last 5 years.
Okay, so I feel like we're losing a little concentration from the episode.
Let's bring it. What are you talking about?
Okay, so they're drinking the vampire blood, and because of that, they start to like lose focus, and they crash the car, and Bill escapes.
Well, Bill causes jump them to scares crash them. The car, basically. They're not the smartest. They're a couple of sookies short of a stack house.
He sleeps in the ground.
So they then...
Nobody shows up to fuck.
Bill then... I know. There's another potential staph infection gone missing.
Rip.
He wanders and finds an old lady in a cabin... who doesn't have a telephone because she could afford to pay for oxygen or her phone, and she chose oxygen.
A scathing indictment couldn't be me. The American healthcare system.
Yeah, right. And this is like a silly note because, you know, in a perfect world, Bill is not showing up at little old ladies' houses and drinking their blood. But I do really appreciate that he makes a point to like leave her with very positive memories, makes her think that her son called her and or came over and spent time with her and left her money. So that's nice. If you're gonna, you know, bust in on somebody and drink their blood, at least make them think it was a good time.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was nice.
The real take me to dinner first.
The least worst way.
He may be eating old ladies, but he's a fucking gentleman. All right.
Jesus Christ.
Who's not focused?
He cleans up after himself and pays the bill and leaves a solid tip. He also finds out from her that he's in Mississippi,
not Arkansas,
not Arkansas, and foreboding wolves howl outside. And this is sort of happening parallel to then Sookie finding the rune and Jessica googling it to find out that there's Operation Werewolf. So he then zoops again away, and suddenly there's a pack of wolves chasing around him, circling around him, and then there's one bigger wolf starts staring him down, and Bill turns to the wolf and says, "I think you ought to know I just fed," which is, "I have fed," which is not as intimidating as he thinks it is. And
anyway, I have a full tummy. I'm ready for a nap. I think we have a critical case of the Eagles on this podcast tonight.
Oh,
we really do.
Wonderful.
It's not usually that hard to get me there, but
full,
you know,
tummy really sent me. I might cry a little bit. That's a cute.
So,
oh my god!
Full tummy and all, Bill. Zoops towards the.
He's gonna get an upset
tummy.
He's gonna
get a stitch. He needs to have half an hour.
This is our cliffhanger.
Yeah, done. Bill's got a stomach ache.
It's obviously very serious.
I didn't think this cliffhanger was like that special. Honestly,
it ain't shit. You know, it can go somewhere in the bottom. As far as I'm concerned,
I honestly think it's fine at the very bottom, but like, oh no, I think it should go above Godric Rescue Sookie because I still think that was the worst one. But
Godric Rescue Sookie was like the third worst choice of cliffhanger in that episode. So...
oh yeah, that was the episode where they like you kept thinking it was ending.
So it's then whether it goes above him biting Sookie during sex or not. I would put it above it just because there's like the tiniest amount of danger, even if it's even if we all know kind of what's going on.
Yeah, I think between, I'm fine with it being 22 or 23, really.
22 is Bill at Jessica's house to clean up Sookie's mess. Do we think it's, I mean, I think we're sort of,
it's
so
after
glad
that,
about
for
Bill
sure,
not
yeah.
dying.
Yeah,
now,
here's but... the thing. Any cliffhanger where it's like, oh, a main character's in danger, I'm like, who cares? They're main
I think
characters.
I'd put it
seven
above.
Seasons.
Yeah. I think I'd put it above Bill biting Sookie.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a new number 23.
Just right above that. Yeah.
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 Cool.
All right.
But I do like, I do get really happy when we're like all kind of on a similar page about it. Even if we don't agree like exactly where it should be, it's nice when we're like, it's definitely in the bottom. And we're all like, yes. It makes me happy. It makes me feel correct.
All right. Character intros. We have a couple of characters.
Yeah, there's
but
some
they
people
don't, we don't really
that
get into them enough.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. I don't think anyone. I mean, we have Reverend Daniels, but I don't remember if we had met him before. But we didn't learn that much about him yet. And then there's some other characters that we get to know more about, but they weren't even named, so I don't think it's.
Yeah, I mean, there's Sam's brother.
Right, but he won't even like. Yeah, bad liar. Yeah.
And then there's the old lady who
yeah, but she's not, we don't
gets,
think we ever see her again.
She's not going to come back again. She's a one-off. All right, so who is your choice for most chaotic? You can pick one of us because it's been an episode. if not, one of the characters on the show. Tasia, do you want to go first?
I'm just piggybacking off of Elise's choice, which is Jessica, because her trying to scramble to deal with this dead body and like trying to make him a vampire after he has officially deceased is some chaos, some special 17-year-old dum-dum chaos.
Yeah, she's definitely like in that 17-year-old, oh shit, I'm going to be in so much trouble. What can I do to fix this? And it's just like,
everything she does makes it worse. Yeah.
But also, like, not the murder part, but, like, relatable. Like, I felt that feeling before. Just ask for help.
Melissa?
Oh, yeah. I was gonna steal yours. Not steal, but just, like, I agree that it's Sophie Ann coming in, knowing that she is the bad guy, she is the problem, and she's being like, oh my god, how dare they? Who would ever?
Overselling the shit out of it.
Kill them if they do it. Her eyes are, like, back and forth.
She's... Her going, okay, the feds are on to us, like, so what we're going to do is not flush it, but, like, sell more, sell quick, sell cheap to random people who can't be trusted. Like, what the fuck are you doing? She's a crazy person. And I do think it is interesting, and you can see there's been thought and design go into how she looks and how she performs in Fantasia compared to the into her home palace, which is fun. I like that. Any more for chaotic? Who is most horny, please?
I think Letty Mae for Reverend Daniels. She was making him like so uncomfortable too.
The
she
secondhand
like...
embarrassment was so real.
Yes,
that good old
she was
Christian
like
horn.
Very much. She was reading that very incorrect. And it was just funny that he was like family, like we are. This is not happening.
I'm gonna say Sam for Bill. That was a hot scene. It feels like it's been over an hour since we discussed it, so maybe people have forgotten, but that scene was incredibly hot. Pam lusting after Sookie when she turns up is a lot of fun as well.
Mine is me thinking about how I would like it if the show would just have Sophie Ann and Eric do hate sex on each other.
I would sign that petition.
It. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Change.org. Make it happen.
Mine is just me, kind of following in Melissa's footsteps, but it's me just for Pam in general. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever.
You need to stop wearing lavender, Tasia. Okay. Spoilers and books. I'm going to hand this over to Elise because she's written most of the notes and I have not read the books. So,
Before we get into that, I just want to reiterate that the two people that Melissa and I were very excited about earlier are Alcide and Russell Edgington. Edgington?
Yes. Okay. I think it's Edgington.
There's a Edgington in Star Trek, and so I get them mixed up.
He's also characters. Quite Weasley, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh no,
Edgington in Star Trek is also quite Weasley. But yes, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so in the book, it's really funny because it starts with Suki basically calling like her and Bill's relationship thus far like a honeymoon, like, you know, not a real one, but like, you know, we've been in the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. And like, they can't get married, and then she goes, "Not like Bill's asked me," which is really amusing. Bill gets like missing is different in the book. He tells Suki that he's doing work for the Vampire Queen of Louisiana, and Suki is hearing about this queen for the first time in this book, and she's learning all about like vampire hierarchy. And he tells her that he's off to Seattle, which we find out in the book is also a lie. And he also says, if anything happens to me, like, find Eric or whatever, I'll be gone for 8 weeks. And then, like, not very long later, we've talked about this character before, but, like, Elvis, who is a vampire, Bubba. Also named Bubba, is sent to, like, protect Suki, and someone tries to kill Suki at Merlot's, and Bubba's just hanging out in Sam's office because... God forbid anyone see him.
Yeah, because if people see him, they'll call him Elvis, and he's like an incorrect vampire because the morgue attendant, like when Elvis was brought into the morgue attendant was a vampire and was like, no, I can't, like there's a spark here. I can't let him die. And so the like vampire crossover did not go well. So Bubba is like not correct. And so he loses his shit when people call him Elvis. And so anytime someone's
he's
around
him. He's got vampire
him,
brain damage.
Yeah, they have to, like, catch themselves. Yeah. And I am apologizing to Austin Butler in the entire Elvis community because I cannot stop picturing, like, end of Elvis, Austin Butler as Bubba in this book. And it's so funny to me, and I like feel so bad because it's like a really it's like sad in the movie.
Yeah,
and it's like obvious it's sad for Elvis's real life, although he's probably a piece of shit, whatever, who cares. But I'm just like, Austin Butler, you're a very attractive man, and I'm so sorry that I'm doing this to you in my brain.
So is Jason calling Hoyt Bubba, is that a reference to
I
this
thought thing? That a little bit as well, but I almost think it's more like they want to show Jason and Hoyt being close and they don't want it to feel homoerotic, and like I you know Jason's not like
the first and only time in this show that they want nothing to seem homoerotic.
There is one straight character on this show and his name is Jason Stackhouse.
Yes.
not that straight.
I also is funny when Bill leaves, he tells Suki. Bill in the books has like a lot of computer background, and so he's like, if something happens to me, hide these discs, and it's just like very, you don't know what it is, and
he's
book
like,
just
by the way,
starts off a lot
in the
different.
Future you'll be able to use this mobile phone concept called WAP.
So yeah, Bill's still missing, it's just different.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about the art book Arlene stuff. So I don't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, yes.
If one of you remembers exactly. So what I remember is that later, like, Arlene's much more, as the books progress, she gets more and more bigoted towards, like, the supernatural community. And I feel like that in one of the later books, she and Suki have this huge falling out because Arlene, like, uses her kids to set up, like, Suki or something to, like, get kidnapped or get murdered or maybe it's not even Suki, maybe it's one of her friends or something. But that Arlene is not even just like passively bigoted. She is like maliciously, actively trying to hurt people bigoted in the books.
I remember reading the books
familiar.
That sort of felt like character assassination, but I wasn't extremely media literate my first run through of these. And I also probably was pretty attached to the TV character. and didn't have like the qualms about how she's presented that I do now because of the aforementioned media illiteracy and just like generally being a very young person. But yeah, I remember being like deeply offended by this, like, because I'm pretty sure she like conspires with people to have like a trailer blown up that they think that supernatural people are going to be in, including potentially Sookie. And Arlene's like basically like, if she dies, she dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is heartbreaking because in the book, Sookie's constantly talking about how Arlene is her best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Tara isn't really there that much.
Mm. Exactly.
Melissa, you put also they're in a very bad place. Oh, yeah.
Bill and Sookie are like not in a good place when he goes missing. And so she is like, she's trying to find him, but it's more out of just like her loyalty to just like what she believes is the morally correct thing to do, and less like about her relationship with Bill, because she like essentially thinks that their relationship is over, and she's like trying to find
him. I remember the Bill and I remember Bill and Sookie's relationship not being that long lived in the books, really.
In the beginning of this third book, Sookie's like, my grandma died a couple months ago, and I'm like, months.
Yeah, she says that she's been with Bill for like a few months.
Life is a whirlwind.
And like, it's also interesting, like, I feel like part of the reason why she's also looking for Bill is because when Bill left, he was like, Eric will protect you if anything happens to me. And she's like, does that mean, like, she legitimately does not know if that means that she has to be Eric's girlfriend after this. You know what I mean? Like, does that mean that I have to be fucking him? Like, so it's just very shitty how, like, Bill left things.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, more to come through the rest of the season. So, anyone got anything else to say about the episode?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Nice short one this evening, guys. Thanks very much. We'll move on to plugs. Melissa.
Yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky and Letterboxd and Instagram at Mel Yellow or Mel Yellow XX. And I also do a podcast called Wild Pretty Things that you can look up on Patreon or on other podcatchers.
And you can find me on Blue Sky at Lozymandias. And you can find my other podcast, the Asimov Cast, looking for joy and inspiration in the works of Isaac Asimov. Also on Blue Sky and Instagram, Tasia.
You can find me on Instagram at Ragey Cakes. And you can find my occasionally YA podcast, Actia Age, at Actia Age.
And Elise.
You can find me on Blue Sky, Letterboxd, and Storygraph at Chicken Tendi. That's T-E-N-D-I. You can find my other podcast, Pod Wraiths, a Deep Space Nine rewatch podcast, on Blue Sky and Instagram at Pod Wraiths. That's W-R-A-I-T-H-S. And wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks very much to DJ Empirical for our theme. You can find the pod on Instagram and Blue Sky at FangBangersPod with a Z. Email us your chaotic, horny thoughts on True Blood, please, to FangBangersPod@gmail.com. I'm Lossie, and my blood type is, unlike Sookie, in the mood for Pam's lesbian weirdness.
And I'm Melissa, and my blood type is dog therapist.
And I'm Elise, and my blood type is pussy overflow.
Blood type or Bond girl?
I'm Tasia. My blood type is conscience off, dick on.
Bye.
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 Bye.